You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following podcast was recorded on September 27th, 2021, between the hours of 7:30 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. Events occur in real time. About you, but I'm having the worst day ever. It's worst day ever. The Post Show Recaps 24 Recap Podcast, recapping season one of 24. Me watching 24 season one for the 5,000th time. My co-host Emily Fox watching for the, how many times has it been? I can't remember, Emily. Sorry, I forgot that we did the amnesia bit last time.
Yeah.
Is this duplicative?
It's getting old.
It's getting old.
From Terry and from you.
You know what? The bit, we took it so seriously that we forgot to do the podcast last week.
Yeah. Am I a podcaster?
Yeah.
Who am I?
Where am I? We like totally forgot to do the podcast last week. That was definitely like a piece of the gag.
Well, here's what. Tanya picked me up. We went for a drive. Mm-hmm. We passed a restaurant that looked super familiar to me. And I was like, drop me off.
Drop me off at this restaurant for 2 hours.
Give me the $10 cab fare because it's 2001. I was thinking about what inflation prices must be now for that. It was probably $50 these days.
Send me whatever you can afford plus $10.
Which is also a really weird thing to say to somebody.
Well, that's what I was about to pitch to people who have yet joined the Post Show Recaps Patreon.
Unless you run a Patreon.
Yeah, I was going to say, go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps and pledge whatever you can afford plus $10. For cab fare. So that's, you know, sign up for the $10 a month option is basically what I'm saying. And if you could only do the $10 cab fare, just sign up for 1 month and then you don't have to do any more. I think is basically the pitch.
Okay.
I'm trying to workshop it right now in the room with us before we send out the podcast. Oh wait, this is part of the podcast. So last week there was no worst day ever. We apologize for that. Schedules being what they are, sometimes this happens.
But guess what? It's Mercury in retrograde now. So like,
it's what?
Mercury's in retrograde.
Oh, what does that mean again?
It means things don't go as planned.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Things get a little crazy, kooky, strange.
That should be Jack Bauer's new catchphrase. Whenever like something goes wrong, like when David Palmer gets mad at him because Elizabeth Nash's whole deal doesn't go right. He's like, I'm sorry, Senator Palmer, but Mercury's in retrograde right now.
What if he said that at the beginning of every episode?
Right now, Mercury's in retrograde. Terrorists are here. Yeah, that'd be pretty good. I think that'd be really good, in fact.
I really like that.
So we missed last week. We're giving you a double episode this week. Cool?
Cool.
We hope that that's cool. We will release the time limit. We won't be here forever, but we're not beholden to 24 minutes. Everybody wins. We're also recording this very early in the morning, as you could tell by my gravelly-voiced introduction. Did I just break the illusion by revealing that I'm the one who does the gravelly-voiced introductions?
Terrorists.
Emily's like, I don't listen to the podcast, so I don't know about the gravelly voiced introductions. So we're going to get into this. This is these two episodes are our first two episodes, like, truly in the Terry Bauer has amnesia storyline. We are going to do the first 2 hours, like, properly back in the Kim and Rick returns storyline.
So stupid.
We are going to be 2 hours in the David Palmer hems and haws about what to do about the Dr. Ferragamo. Oh, God, no, he's just been in this all day. So this is just 2 more hours of all of that.
Some of these are dragging, I'm not going to lie.
So the second half of season one of 24 is for sure weaker than the first half of 24. There's just, like, no two ways about it. I think that the end game of the finals of the first season of 24 is going to be really, really strong. And there's going to be a lot to talk about. But, like, some of this stuff, yeah, like, I, like, had forgotten, not that this stuff happened, but maybe, like, the pacing.
Well,
the pacing. Good gosh.
If you take the minute to think about it, in reality, this is what a day goes like, because honestly, what Senator Palmer is doing is, like, a lot of what normal people do, which is hemming and hawing, being in a room, talking to his advisors, figuring stuff out with his family. Like, that's pretty normal. He almost was assassinated earlier. So, you know, maybe you have a little bit of downtime. I would opt for a nap personally, but
a nap,
like,
would be fine.
I understand the
a nap would be
severity
great.
Of strategic, you know, stuff right now, figuring out how to get these assassins.
Look, Emily, that strategic stuff is severe. It's pretty severe.
Yeah, but it is weird. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I think when you're used to watching something that's really fast paced and there's crazy stuff going on, there was a natural ebb and flow to this where it's like, oh, great, you got him back. That's it. But the fact that it keeps going, I understand
it
from
keeps
a network
going.
Perspective.
It keeps going. It keeps going.
But
it keeps going.
Kim sucks.
Kim sucks. Kim has given us a hard
time. I hope
time
they have
right
a
now.
Better daughter the next time around.
Kim is.
They can right their wrongs.
Kim is having a hard time right
She's
now.
She's the worst. Why would you like a guy that kidnapped you? Right. I know you're a teen, but still.
Kim is having a hard time right now. Let's just be sympathetic.
She's
to the
also
hard
creating
time.
A scenario in which Terry's been kidnapped again, which, like, you know, all eyes on Tony Almeida being like, hey, this is happening. Like,
yeah, Tony Almeida, like, trying like crazy to be like, somebody listen to me. This is wrong. This is morally
maybe
dubious.
Maybe I have to raise my
not,
voice.
That we're not talking to Jax about his family. How is no one listening to me about this? And
but then,
like,
he has
maybe,
to raise his
yeah,
voice.
He does.
Yells.
When he raises his voice, it's really great. So we're watching this week. It's episodes 17 and 18 is what we were discussing.
Really getting up there.
The 4 to 5 p.m. hour and the 5 to 6 p.m. hour. Let us not dilly-dally shilly-shally any further. Let's dive in. The 4 p.m. hour begins with Kim calling for mom. Mom? 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 Mom.
And that's
and
reasonable.
She's walking around just calling for mom. Yeah. But meanwhile, Terry can't hear this. She's with Polly Peretti.
Yeah.
She's with the NCIS Tanya. Lady who says, I've never met anybody with amnesia before. That's what she says.
What is, I mean, I guess they're trying to make small talk.
Yeah.
So that's
the
goes.
Small talk is so awkward from Tanya. Or is it Tonya? I couldn't tell. I think it may have been Tonya.
She said Tanya, dude.
I think that she said it in a way that made me think it was Tonya. Like, nope. As in, like, short for Antonia.
No, I think it's Tanya.
I'm choosing Tonya, and I'm reading the recap. She says Tonya.
The recap that you wrote.
Yeah, and that's right. I'm reading my own writing. she says, my name is Tonya. Is it too early? Is that why we're laughing?
Yeah, probably.
My name is Tonya. Is what she says to her. She says, my name is Tonya, and you look like you come from money. And Terry goes, excuse me? She goes, or your husband. And she goes, my husband? She goes, look at that
band.
Little gold band on your ring.
And, on your finger?
Yeah. That little gold band on your finger, not on your ring. It's early. We just woke up to record. She has no memory of her husband. And I believe this was when you said, oh, Jack's going to be pissed.
Well, yeah.
But did you have it on the bingo card that by the end of these 2 hours, Jack wouldn't even know that Terry was in danger?
I mean, sure. He's busy.
He's busy. Jack heads to the hotel where the Palmer campaign is and where they're going to set up the sting operation. And boy, Emily Fox, do they put the sting in sting operation? Jack meets Agent Aaron Pierce, my guy, head of security. Elizabeth Nash is like supremely apologetic, and Aaron Pierce is like, don't even think about it. You're very courageous for doing what it is you're trying to do here, Ms.
Asterisk,
Nash.
Asterisk.
Yeah, you can't read the future.
I can.
I mean, listen,
Mercury's in retrograde, Josh.
Not everybody can read the future. You can. That's great.
I knew there was going to be something off about this.
Just something
because there are a few
off.
Other things that clicked too easily in this episode otherwise. So you know how you kind of can figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah. Something is going to go wrong. It's just a question of what's going to go wrong.
Right.
It's an episode of a stressful TV show. Something's going
to
go wrong.
Right. We're threading a lot of needles at once. Someone's about to get stabbed.
Correct.
By that needle, Josh.
And around, by the needle. At 4:05, Terry Bauer recognizes a restaurant, and Tonya pulls over so that Terry can go in.
It's just such a weird thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess. Restaurant. I recognize it.
And you're in like Topanga Canyon or something.
Yeah.
You're like really out there.
Yes. So she recognizes that there's a restaurant, but there's a manager that is going to be there in 20 minutes. So Terry says, like, I'm just going to sit in the corner and wait for the manager. And Tonya.
Which makes no sense.
Tonya is looking at Terry Bauer like she's nuts. And Terry Bauer's like, you don't have to stay. And Tonya's like, thank God. I didn't know if I was supposed to stay or go. She's like, you don't have to come. It's fine. And she's like, it's familiar here. I'm just going to ride it out. Just why don't you write down your name and number, and whenever I get better, I'll send you whatever I can afford. And Tonya says, here's $10 for cab fare to the hospital, plus whatever you can afford. And that's very kind. I think Tonya, because this is all you see of her, she drives away, you never see her again. She goes to NCIS.
I think
one of the kindest people we meet on 24.
I just think all of this is really weird and not unnecessary.
Yeah. Listen, we talked about this last time. The amnesia plot is garbage.
We don't need it.
It's
we
garbage.
Don't need it.
It's, well, we've got 24 episodes of TV. We didn't know we were going to have this much stuff. We got to do stuff with Terry and Kim. We've got series regular contracts for Leslie Hope and Elijah Cuthbert. Like, what are we going to do? I got it. Amnesia.
Yeah, why can't they just go do like a sonogram at the hospital and then get picked back up by the
we're spinning wheels right now. You know, we're spinning wheels with a very ridiculous storyline. A storyline so bad, Emily, that it's an A-. at 4:08, Nina is like walking Elizabeth Nash on like how she needs to behave, how she needs to like act around Alexis Strays and all of this stuff. When Senator Palmer walks in, he's like, what is going on here? Hey, 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 hey. I don't know why he became Principal Belding. Now, hey, 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 what's good? If only Jack had the Zach Morris timeout ability.
Oh, wow.
This whole show would be over. He'd call a timeout. He would go through like all of the CTU files. He would do all the, I'll do it myself. He'd do all the research. He'd find like the Drazens. He'd track them down. This would be over in like an episode.
Yeah.
There'd be no traffic. Not that there is in the world of 24.
Yeah, there never is. Everything's 20 minutes away and you can get there real quick.
Palmer tells Jack that I've known Elizabeth Nash my whole life, and if anything goes wrong, I will hold you personally responsible. We will see how that threat comes into play by the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
Kim Bauer, meanwhile, she stumbles out of the woods and nearly just gets sideswiped by
she
a car.
She doesn't
literally,
even look.
Literally because she doesn't look left. All she had to do. She looks left once. She doesn't get hit by a car. It's ridiculous.
I think it would have been more believable if they wanted to do something like that to her, if she like immediately emerged from a wreck and then almost got hit by a car.
Yeah,
but instead she walks for like an hour or something like that.
She's been genuinely walking for 15 minutes at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I should know that. Timestamps.
Timestamps. She goes to a payphone. She calls CTU. She gets your boy, Tony Almeida. Tony Almeida goes, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Slow down, slow down. In addition to speaking very softly, I'm a little hard of hearing. And Kim tells him that Safe House has been attacked. My mother may have been kidnapped again. And so she wants to talk to her dad or Nina Myers. These are the two people that she talks to. And she's never talked to Tony before. And Tony's like, tell me where you are. I'll come get you. And she's like, that's what they said to my mother. And Tony's like, no, that was Jamie Farrell. She was a dirty traitor. That's what he says. And then she hangs up the phone. And Tony's like, shit. Oh, God. And he goes to George Mason. And Mason's like, cool, this is really terrible. I'm going to send some people over to the safe house. I love that he calls a team and sends them to the safe house. He says, heads up, there might be trouble.
Yeah, like, that's really messed up.
Yeah, maybe a little more information.
What if someone's still there?
What about a little more information? Like, heads up, the Bauer kid just called and said that the safe house was attacked and everyone is dead and that she's missing and her mom has been kidnapped. This is a time for specifics. I think you relay those specifics to the team that is going to the safe house.
Or you at least say like code 17 or something.
If there's a code 17 for the Bauer people have been attacked and the safe house has fallen and you got to get there.
Not like there might be trouble.
There might be. Yeah. Heads up. There might be trouble. And they're like, okay, boss.
They're like, the plumbing's not working.
It's great.
No one can use the bathrooms.
I love
there.
It. I love it. George doesn't want to tell Jack Bauer what happened though. And Tony's like, ooh, I feel uncomfortable about that choice.
I mean, I understand holding off until the sting operation is done.
But I still feel pretty icky about it, all right?
And then Tony has to trace every payphone within 5 square miles.
Yeah, he's like, trace all the payphones.
That's so
like,
stupid.
Ah, I hate my job sometimes.
Yeah, like, that's such busy work.
Sometimes I really hate my job, okay? Jack is bickering with Nina over protocol. Like, they're having, like, a little bit of, like a ex-lover's quarrel. But then he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm being so mean. I'm just so worried about my family. She's like, they're going to be totally fine. Meanwhile, they're not.
Asterisk.
And then Jack also asks her like, hey, why didn't you finish the debrief? And Nina's stopping short of being like, well, because your wife basically like shamed me for our relationship that happened while you two were separated. And the whole thing was awful. She's going to tell Jack that a little later, but not just yet. Kim, after calling Tony Almeida, decides to call Rick for help.
Because that's the next logical move.
She only trusts Rick.
No.
You know, she wants to go to Rick's house.
Don't you have like an aunt or like a cousin?
Yeah.
Or a friend other than Janet?
I believe that the Bauer aunt is a character who's name checked at some point on 24, though you never see her, I'm pretty sure.
But like, yeah, wouldn't you call somebody else that you absolutely trust before the person who got you into this?
Yes.
12 hours ago or whatever?
Do you not have any like additional family members to call? Or even she's going to talk about her friend Todd later on. She should have just gone to Todd's house. You know, anybody. Like, just bunker down. And then keep calling CTU until somebody picks up or call the police, leave anonymous tips. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Keith Palmer is going to come to his father and he's going to present the tape that he recorded from the time that he had a sting operation of his own when he got Carl to confess to his crimes on tape. And David Palmer says, do you trust me? And Keith says, I do. He hands the recording over for David Palmer to use. At 4:27, the brothers Drazen are having a conversation about Elizabeth Nash, and they kind of disagree about how much she's worth. Alexis thinks he has her wrapped around his finger. Andre says, okay, fine. If you're going to pump her from information, that's good. Poor choice of words.
I was just going to say.
Kill her when it's
done. Oh, he will.
Kill her when it's done. Kill her when it's done. Back at the hotel, Jack Bauer is mansplaining fiber optic cameras to Elizabeth Nash.
It's so offensive the way he does it. He's like, oh, here, sit down for a minute. Let me explain this to you.
Fiber optic cameras.
You dumb woman.
Fiber optic cameras. He tells her what they are. He gives her the...
And she's like, great. So they're a camera.
There's cameras everywhere. even if you know where to look, they're very hard to find. They want her to plant a tracking device on Alexis Drazen, and if she's ever feeling in danger, she should say the phrase, I hope I'm not getting a cold.
Which is a weird phrase to try to, I don't know,
yeah,
weave
like,
into
how
a conversation.
How do you segue into that? Do you have to, like, fake a sneeze? Do you have to go, I hope I'm not coming down with a cold.
Also, I don't know, maybe I'm just hyper aware of this because of the last couple of years, but it's like, if you're making out with somebody and then suddenly you're like, hope I'm not coming down with a cold, I would be like, what the hell?
I'd be like, okay, well, have you been tested recently? And they're like, no, I don't. Are you vaccinated? No. Like, oh, no.
Yeah, that's the real sting operation.
A lot of questions I should have asked you before. I hope I don't get a cold. Sorry, I hope I'm not getting a cold. And that's the other thing, too. What if she said, I hope I don't get a cold, which is not the correct phrase by just a few words, which she didn't say it right. Don't go in yet.
What if she, you know what I would say? Did you hear that?
Oh, that's what your line would be? Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah.
It's like at the door. Did you hear that? And that'd be great because then you could open the door for the SWAT team.
Right.
Yeah. Good line. Did you hear that?
Like, you could just stop and be like, huh?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's natural. I like that, Emily. You should be a CTU agent.
I would be a really good CTU
Obviously,
agent.
Obviously, you'd be great. So the manager shows up at the restaurant and goes, Mrs. Bauer, oh my God, will Dr. Parslow be joining you today?
Which would never happen in real life.
This guy is awesome. Another just incredibly good Samaritan. We get like two really good Samaritans in this episode. Between Tonya and Mr. Manager, whose name we do get his name, but I think it's Henry.
Oh yeah, you're right.
I
want to
say
you're
it's
right.
Henry.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know who you are. I only know that I know this restaurant, and I'm freaking out. And so he's like, okay, you're not well. I know who Dr. Parslow is. Do you know who that is? And she goes, it's familiar. And he says, okay, well, you used to come here with this guy, Dr. Parslow. I know the hospital he works at. I'm going to call him. It's like, okay, thank you.
For a manager, he knows a lot of information about them.
Very good at his job.
I know, but I was saying this to you last night when we were watching this. If one of us had the same exact thing happen and we showed up to one of the restaurants that we go to, I don't know, even just a little bit, which is different now, obviously, but we frequent a few places. No one would know anything about us other than like, oh, that's the couple that comes in here.
No, they would like,
they'd be like, oh, hi, you.
They would recognize us. There would be the friendly interaction.
Yeah.
I, as the Terry Bauer, would be like, do I know you? And they'd be like, yeah, of course. And I'd be like, do I? And then they'd be like, oh, I guess not. I guess our interactions have meant nothing to you. And then they would. And then they would wait upon me coldly for the rest of the time.
Yeah, you'd order a meal and be like, well, this was weird.
Yes, so weird. all right, so at 4:39, we embark on a segment that goes on for a long chunk of time as Alexis Drazen shows up at the hotel. First, Nina tells Jack about what happened at the safe house in terms of like, yeah, she knows. And Jack's like, oh, this is so awkward. Anyway, we got to do the operation. But damn it, Nina. And so at 4:39, we go for a whole uninterrupted sequence. The entire chunk of episode here, like the in-between commercials, this entire act is the hotel room. Let me tell you.
Boy, oh boy.
So we won't do beat by beat, but we will chronicle it.
Triple B.
We won't do triple B, but we will chronicle the major relevant details. He shows up first. There's no apparent sign of the wallet, so it's either in his pants. It's in his pants or in the jacket that he puts on the bed.
Also, why does it need to be a wallet? Can't it just be some of his clothes?
Jack makes it clear that the wallet is ideal because he's going to keep that with him everywhere he goes, even if he changes his clothes. That's the idea.
You better hope he's not walking around naked somewhere.
I also like, I mean, look, if he's going on a clandestine assassin operation,
he
is
might
he
leave his wallet behind.
Bringing his wallet?
Yeah, he doesn't want to be ID'd.
But I don't know where else you put the tracking device.
I do.
You really... Do you want to elaborate or you want to leave that to the imagination?
Leave it to the imagination, but she's there to do a job.
You know what she should have done? This is just a suggestion.
In his hair.
Yeah, just braid it.
Braid it.
He has
his
like
hair.
This kind of like, he's got the Farquaad, right?
Yeah.
So like you braid it within his Farquaad.
She's like,
braid the tracking
I do this
device
with all of
within
my lovers.
His Farquaad.
I give them a rat tail.
I called you. This is what she should have said. I called you back here because there's one. I want you to know how much I love you and how much I take this relationship seriously. there's one thing we've yet to do, and I only do it with my most serious lovers. Sit down on the bed, Alexis. And then he's like, okay. And he sits down at the edge of the bed, and she gets behind him, and she goes, I'm now creating the ceremonial love braid.
Ew.
And within the ceremonial love braid, she's weaving in the tracker. This is a good idea. This is a good idea. I think this is pretty
that's
good.
That's a nice braid.
That's a nice tracking device. So anyway, she goes in. This is not her plan. She won't kiss him. She keeps like turning her head.
I hate it. I hate everything about this interaction because it's so obvious that something's off. And he's not an idiot. He's an assassin. He's meant to like pick up on subtleties.
Yeah, they're like not kissing. And then when they do kiss, it's really like...
It's like she doesn't know how.
It's like really messy and awkward, and they're like kind of like almost like they're in the dark, and they're like trying to feel for each other's faces.
Like
with
we've
their
never
mouths.
Done this before.
Like when you're in the dark and like you're kind of like grasping around to see if like you can find a wall, except they're doing that with their mouths,
it's
and they're
so
trying to find
awkward.
Each other instead of a wall.
Yeah, like I feel like
it's one of the worst kisses ever.
Well, someone could have directed this better, right?
I think
to
like,
at least be like, oh, you're going to reluctantly kiss him. You're going to feel a little weird about it. Maybe pull away a few times, but not like this weird avoidance thing that she does right away.
He like goes off to do something. She goes for the jacket.
He's making her a vodka.
He's making her a vodka. That's right. By the way, he's making her a vodka and he like puts a whole lemon wedge in his mouth.
Yeah, I know. It really freaked me out.
For like a sustained period of time. He puts like a full lemon wedge in his mouth, like in his teeth.
Yeah, I thought he was putting a mouth guard in it.
No, he's putting in he's doing like the John Locke orange peel smile, but yeah. With a lemon wedge, and he has it sustained in there, and that's psychotic.
Well, he is an assassin.
I love a citrus. I love lemon flavor in anything. I love lemon itself, but to like put the whole thing, the whole wedge in your mouth and chew down on that wedge for a sustained period of time is psychotic. It's psychotic. I don't know what to say. It's psychotic behavior. They like toast to the future. She tries to like put the tracking device in. She drops the wallet or something. Then she starts dragging him for the fact that like they only like seem to just do it.
That's they don't all have they any do. Other chemistry.
All they do is do it. They don't do anything else.
So when
is that a complaint or a compliment?
Both.
I think a little bit of both.
Well, so I thought maybe he was like drugging her.
No. He keeps asking her for all these questions about the senator. And she's like, why do you care about the senator? You care about me? I only care about you. I don't know what my Drazen voice is. I only care about you. I don't think that's really good.
It's okay. You don't need to do it. You don't have to do everyone's voice.
Gotta try. I think I'm falling in love with you.
It's so stupid.
And she's like, oh, I don't like that at all. He says this after he's gone to like order a hamburger from room service because she says she's hungry, which is a good play. It buys
it
her enough time to put the tracking device in the wallet and the wallet back in the jacket. So mission accomplished. Bauer calls. He says there's going to be a phone call. And once you answer it, say you got to go and we'll send the team in. He's calling, but she's not picking up because she like enters a fugue state when he says, I love you. Like all of the hurt and betrayal and pain and everything, boils to the surface and she's now off mission, Emily.
Yeah.
Now she's on her own journey and mm-hmm. that journey is to pick up, a letter opener and plunge it into Alexis Drazen's stomach.
I hate this. I hate this entire interaction, obviously, but I hate this part because it's so clear that she could get out and they could go after him or like figure out what they need to do next in terms of tracking him. And instead, she just foils the plan because she gets too overwhelmed and mad. At first, I was wondering if she was like, oh, he loves me. Maybe then we'll make it work. But I was like, she's not that stupid.
No, she's betrayed.
But she's betrayed. And like... what's a better betrayal than to like set him up, walk out of there and be like, got him.
Yeah, but that's not as viscerally satisfying as stabbing him with a letter opener.
What have we learned about letter openers in the last 6 months or so? Don't have them in your hotel room.
I guess.
Right?
I guess that's the thing.
This is a nod to another thing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Letter openers. Fatal Objects.
I didn't know. I'm out of the loop on whatever.
You're not
letter opener.
You're just not.
Is.
You're not.
I'm just not conjuring it quickly enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, this is crazy. It's stupid. She foils the plan. David Palmer is going to be really upset. I'm really upset.
Yeah, David Palmer.
Josh is really upset.
David Palmer is really upset about it. He's going to show up. And he's going to be absolutely furious about this. Before that happens, like there's some other stuff. Kim gets to Rick's house. The girlfriend instantly, I think her name is Heather or something like that.
Sounds about right.
She does not like Kim. The whole thing's uncomfortable. Dr. Parslow shows up.
I don't trust him.
Okay, well, we'll
he
talk
seems
about,
sinister.
We'll talk about him more in a moment. He shows up and he says, everything's going to be fine. I'm here now. And then meanwhile, George Mason is reaming out Jack because, like, I told you this was a bad plan, Jack. But I was like, all right, I have to admit this one maybe wasn't my best work. There's like a 50-50 survival shot for Alexis at this point. There's nothing in the room, nothing linking Alexis to anything. David Palmer walks in. He's so mad.
I actually really enjoy watching him be mad.
He's so upset with Jack. He's like, you idiot. I told you not to do this. She's my friend. I've known her since she was a baby. I told you I'd hold you personally responsible. Meanwhile, Alexis Drazen's phone starts to ring. And Nina's like, what are you going to do? And Jack goes, we got to take a chance. And
then is so stupid.
And then he answers. He opens the flip phone. He answers it. And like his voice is like a croak, like a toad's croak, like an old toad's croak as he goes, yeah. That you have to rewatch it and listen to the way that Jack picks up the phone and he says, yeah, it's hilarious.
I mean,
it's hysterical. He opens up because he just doesn't know, like he doesn't want to like give up that he doesn't have the accent or
but
anything.
But then he doesn't even try with an accent in any of the future interactions with this person.
It's just amazing. It's like he's burping it out and he says, I've got the money. And the guy says, all right, well, meet me downtown in 45 minutes. And Jack, who then like lets like the croaky voice slip, he goes, how will I know who you are? I guess he just goes back to his own croaky voice. And the guy says, I'll be wearing a red baseball cap. 24, ahead of its time, identifying the bad guy. and so that's the end of the 4 to 5 p.m. hour. That Alexis Drazen has been gravely injured. They lost their lead, but it leveraged them to the next thing, Emily, that now they've got a meet-up with
another
somebody.
Another sting.
So we're going to talk about that next episode. First, do you want to give a letter grade for the 4 to 5 p.m.?
A-.
A-. Yeah, you're really not loving this stretch of 24.
Ugh.
It's a little bit sloggy.
It's laborious.
It's
laborious.
Laborious.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, Fox. Well, the labor continues as we must discuss the next episode of 24 Season 1, Episode 18, the 5 to 6 p.m. hour. And it begins with the immediate aftermath of the situation. David Palmer, really tries to take Jack to task. He blames him. And he goes, this wasn't my fault. I didn't tell Elizabeth Nash to plunge a letter opener into Alexis Drazen. And David Palmer's like, ah, man, that's a pretty good point. They're able to like resolve this relatively quickly. David Palmer like kind of like pats Jack on the arm.
He always
very
like comes
tenderly.
In really hot and then cools down within seconds.
He just like sort of like very like gingerly like pats Jack's arm. I love that.
Yeah.
Big fan of that. He asks Jack, keep me posted. And yeah, I will. They find bearer bonds in the hotel room. It's better than money, is what they say. And that this is Alexis Drazen's money that he's going to be giving to this guy, apparently.
Yeah.
He's going to give him a suitcase filled with bearer bonds. Do you think the guy with the red hat's going to be like, bearer bonds?
I don't even know what this is.
Bearer bonds. Don't ask me to like explain bearer bonds to you. Like, I lightly know bearer bonds, but okay. I'm also an idiot, so I can't be the guy who does.
You don't want to be on tape saying what they are.
Yeah, because I'll get it totally wrong.
This is like when we watch Billions.
Yeah, we watch Billions, and Emily and I like secretly love the Showtime show Billions. It's not a huge secret. Like yeah. Anytime we get the chance to talk about how much we love Billions, we talk about. But like, there's no universe in which we'll ever podcast about Billions.
Because we don't understand.
We don't
what's
understand
going on.
A lick of what's happening.
I mean,
on
we
that
understand
show.
The betrayal and like yeah, the plots and the subplots. But if you have to talk about like any sort of like stock market,
it's all
like,
about the vibe for us. Yeah. It's like who's betraying who right now.
But then they're like, buy that up, and yeah. You're like, and Josh will be like, what does that mean? And I'm like, it's
Emily,
equities.
Emily,
I don't know.
Emily usually knows. Emily usually knows, and I don't.
Yeah, but we're really bad at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, really
it's
bad.
It's very funny. I have to like think really hard when I watch that show.
Anyway, so Jack is he's got the money now. So an operation. They have a location. They've got a time. They're like you know like really rushing to meet. Jack is going to because his white dress shirt is covered in blood.
So he's like, give me that shirt.
So he's you there, give me your shirt. So he exchanges shirts with a guy. I think that this is Jack's final shirt. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
I think this may be his final costume change for the day. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think that might be right. Tony comes to George Mace like, is it time to tell the family yet? And Mace's like, not yet. And Tony's like, all right. then back at Rick's place, Kim's just not getting along with anybody. She finds out that Dan's brother Frank is coming. And if you thought Dan was an asshole, wait till you get a load of his brother Frank.
I hate this.
Frank sucks.
Did you see him throw an apple onto the couch?
It is a little hard to know which storyline sucks harder. The Terry Bauer amnesia plot or the Kim goes to Rick as her knight in shining armor storyline. They're both bad.
Yeah.
They're both bad. I have an answer, but I don't think I can tell you what my answer is until a little later. We're not quite there yet.
All right.
So it's
going to be Kim, isn't it?
So Dr. Parlow tells Terry, like, so let me tell you some stuff about you. You're married. You've got a teenage daughter named Kimberly. You and I met while you were separated. I'm your very good friend who wanted to be a lot more to you.
Get over it.
He says, you were afraid to start a relationship, so we didn't. And you asked me not to call you, and I haven't.
This guy sucks.
Dr. Parslow. and so he's like, I want to take you to a hospital. You got to see a neurologist. She's like, aren't you a doctor? He's like, I am a surgeon, not a neurologist. He's like, I don't want to go to a
what
hospital.
What do you think his first name is? Chris Parslow instead of Chris Parlow?
They say Phil, I believe.
No, it's not Phil.
I'm pretty sure that's what was
it's
said.
It's not Phil.
I'm not kidding. I'm pretty sure. Do you want me to just do a quick
I'll
Google?
Do a quick check.
No, you aren't allowed to Google stuff about this show,
okay,
Emily,
fine.
Okay? You're not allowed to do
fine.
That. So Parslow, 24. Let's see what comes up. Phil Parslow. That's what they said on the show.
PP.
Yeah, Phil Parslow. So he says, we got to get you examined. She goes, I don't want to go to a hospital. And Dr. Parslow goes, well, how about I examine you here?
Yeah, exactly. In this wine cabinet.
Yeah.
Like the storage room.
At the Palmer so campaign weird. HQ, David plays the tape for Mike and Sherry. Mike says, it's been a long time since I've practiced law, but I don't think this is evidence. And David says, well, if I give this to the media, then the truth will come out. And then Sherry says, well, this can't be a today thing. Today is about only one thing, not two things. It's either about you winning the Democratic primary, or it is about a scandal that will destroy the party. Mike's argument is like, let's not destroy the tape. That's what Sherry says. Like, I'm going to destroy the tape is what she's saying. And Mike says, No, let's not do that. Let's shelve the tape. This would be useful to have in the White House when these people try to come to you to get you to do stuff. And then you play the tape for them and they go away.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think that's a smart approach.
David's like, oh, that's interesting.
But they have to say Dr. Ferragamo's name like 1,000 more times.
Yes.
Dr. Ferragamo has been dead and like cold for a few hours now. Like, I'm oversaying his name.
Yeah.
I don't like saying his name anymore.
He's actually not cold. He was burned alive.
Maybe he's cooling down.
Cooling down. Jack is on his way to the place. He calls CTU. He asks about his family. Tony's like, yeah, let me just check in on them real quick.
and like hit some buttons.
So Jack tells Mason, like, yeah, could you get on the phone? Also, he's asking about his family. Mason's like, no problem, I'll lie to him. So he does. So, yeah, last I checked, I heard the girls were sleeping. All right, well, call me when they wake up. As Jack and Nina are walking out of the hotel, Emily spotted somebody who looked like Jay Leno.
Yeah, it looked like a Jay Leno lookalike walking by.
Was not him.
I just said maybe he was a huge fan of 24 and wanted a really low-key, spot to walk by.
Yeah, just a cameo. Then after commercial break, Tony comes to George and says, we need extra bodies to fight the Bauer family. And George is like, I'm really sick of you talking about the Bauer family. And in fact, I'm kind of sick of you all together. Do you think that Jack and Nina are still doing it? What do you think about that? And Tony goes, what? He's like, yeah, do you think that they're still together? Because like, Nina seems to be a problem. She's with Jack. She's with you.
Some really messed up psychology he's throwing Tony's way.
And he's like, does Nina working so closely with Jack work for you? And then Tony goes, you know what works for me? You know what works for me? Staying out of my personal business. That's what works for me. And George's like, oh, shit. Talk.
We finally got Tony.
You talk.
Tony broke.
Screamed.
Tony broke. And it's so good.
You know what works for me? He screams.
I'm all about that Almeida hate.
It's
that, like,
hilarious.
Anger.
It's hilarious. When Tony pops off, he goes nuts.
Yeah, he really harnessed his inner anger.
He gets so loud. He can get loud too.
Let's get loud, Tony.
Let's get loud. Tony gets loud. Let's get loud. This is all pretty funny if you know. Have we talked about this? I feel like I may have said this to you before, that the woman who plays Nina Myers is an actress named Sarah Clark, and the actor who plays George Mason is someone named Xander Berkeley, and they're married in real life.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so George Mason and Nina Myers in real life are married. So this scene where George is dragging Nina is really funny to me with that meta context.
Yeah, I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, I feel like I may have told you that once before. Maybe not.
No, you didn't.
Well, now you know. Knowing's half the battle, but I think that that's great. I don't know if they met on 24. It's possible that they met on 24. You loved this part. At the Palmer Hotel Suite, as he's wont to do, David Palmer is sitting out on his balcony. And Keith comes out.
Yeah.
And they have like a good conversation about like, are you ready for this? Like, y'all ready for this? Like, there's going to be scrutiny. Questions are coming up. And Keith's like, well, how do you think that I have like lived for the last several years
Correct.
Of my life? Like, I'm ready. And so like, it's a good scene of like Keith's readiness. You know, we're retreading. We're just like kind of treading water
it's
with
so
some
annoying.
Of this stuff.
Ugh.
But a new addition to the scene is this tall drink that David Palmer is
consuming.
Well,
it's in like a scotch glass, like a lowball. And it's like, it has so much like...
There's like some
liquor
ruby
looking.
Red, there's like some.
No,
ruby
it's not
red
ruby red. It's like it looks like whiskey, or maybe like a scotch or something. But it's maybe like I don't know six shots of it. Like it doesn't look like it would be like a stiff drink.
It looks
because
very
there's
watered
too
down.
Much. But at the same time, I'm like I don't know. It's between 5 and 6, so like maybe he's like this has been a day.
This is not David Palmer's first drink of the day.
No, he already had one.
Yeah, he had one at like in the morning, right? Yeah.
But he doesn't even take a sip of it. It's just sort of there as the third character at the table, but like what a third character.
It's a significant amount of liquid in that glass.
Yeah.
Is it tea?
Yeah, Josh was like, it's a Coke. And I was like, it's not.
Is it like a bad hotel soda?
No,
you know?
No. Then he would have the ice bucket next to it.
I guess.
But they probably won't even let him go get ice.
You loved
if you think
it.
About
you
it.
Loved this.
Yeah.
Andre Drazen can't get in touch with his brother, but he does get in touch with Johan, this other dude, this other assassin, Johan, who's been looking. He's like, I've been looking everywhere and I can't find him. And Andre's like, just breathe. Breathe, Johan. And Johan breathes and collects himself and decides, I'll go to the Bauer house because eventually somebody's going to show up.
Which is not a really great strategy.
Except it seemingly is working out.
Yeah, what? You're going to kill another CTU guy?
You'll see. All right, so at 5:22, Rick tells Kim, like, you got to get out of here. He's going to give her money for a cab. She's like, I still think you should turn yourself in. And I still think you're kind of cool. And they, like, make out a little bit.
I hate it so much. They make out. It's so stupid.
They kiss a little bit.
How did Heather not catch that?
She didn't, though. And then Frank walks in, Dan's brother Frank. And this guy is such a
what
turd.
What a jerk.
Very thin goatee. He also Farquadding. And he's just like kind of, he's just like high energy. He's like, yeah, what's going on? What's up with you? Who are you? I don't know you. I don't like you that you're here. Where's Dan? Dan's not here yet. Well, where's Dan going to be? When's he going to get here? We got a big deal. Big deal coming. Need the money. Where's the money? Also, where's the apple? Where's the apple in the fridge?
He takes
an apple out of a fridge. It's like a yellow apple. Takes a bite of it. It's like, pretty gross. Throws it on the ground. Threw it on the ground.
No, I thought he threw it on the couch.
He throws it on the couch. Couch apple. He's like, saving that for later. So here's Frank. Hate him.
Frank sucks.
Dan's brother Frank. Bring back Dan.
No.
If you got to bring one back.
Ugh, don't bring either of them back.
So at 5:30, Jack and Nina arrive at the location downtown, and they get an unfortunate call from George Mason being like, hey, I have bad news for you.
Oh, no. Here we go.
You're getting backup from Teddy Hanlon. And Jack goes, no, Teddy Hanlon. And at first, like, you don't really know why this is a problem.
But then you find out
find out incredibly quickly as actor Kirk Baltz, who plays Teddy Hanlon.
Do you think he rides a motorcycle?
Definitely. He plays Teddy Hanlon. Kirk Baltz, who I think is probably most famous for being the person in the stuck in the middle with you scene from Reservoir Dogs, who is not Michael Madsen. So if you've seen Reservoir Dogs and you know that there are two people in that scene, you now know which one is Teddy Hanlon.
Okay.
It's iconic. I'm trying not to spoil Reservoir Dogs because it's worth watching someday and maybe you haven't seen
it. Is he as bad of an actor on that as he is in this?
He has one note to play in Reservoir Dogs, which I think is probably an easier note to access as an actor than the note that he has to access here.
So a C sharp.
Where he A minus for this episode, I expect, but a C sharp for Teddy Hanlon. Is that the grade? Teddy Hanlon shows up. And so this is a guy who had a partner that was corrupt, who was one of the corrupt people that Jack narked on, which we had heard about earlier on in the season. And so Teddy Hanlon's partner was one of these guys. And so he shows up at the top of the escalator. Hey, Jack, been a long time. I haven't seen you since you burned my partner.
That's exactly like that.
And Jack's like, oh, I'm really sorry about that. So, yeah, I'm pretty sorry about that, too. Did you hear about his wife, Joni? She killed herself. So Judy, actually, was her name. She killed herself. Yeah, it must have been hard being single mom of four kids when your husband's in prison. And for what, Jack? What did you even throw him in jail for? And Jack's
You're doing a better job line reading this than he does.
And Jack's like, listen, Teddy, this is all important stuff, but, can we, actually, do
focus
this mission?
Focus on the job,
Yeah, I can focus on the job, but sometimes it gets really hairy when you're a sniper. You never know if you're going to shoot the wrong target. And Jack's like, I'm pretty sure that, this is a clear shot situation and you're just trying to mess with me. I'm not trying to mess with you, Jack. I'm just trying to tell you that I might shoot you if we get the opportunity where I kill you.
Yeah, that's actually how he acts, where he's like, don't get very mad at me.
Yeah, I get very mad at you if you did it.
You did this thing.
Yeah, because you did that thing, I can get kind of mad about you.
His inflection is just a little off.
I don't know, Jack. You kind of think I kind of think that you're a bad person. I kind of do it. Jack's like, what are you saying? So this guy shows up and he's instantly the worst character.
He's so bad. Yeah. And he has a mullet, too.
He goes, yeah, you know, Jack, I'm pretty sure I don't like it. He's like
after you did this thing to my partner, I grew my hair out like this, and it looks pretty bad. So you did that.
Emily, did you ever watch those those G.I. Joe Fensler films?
Why would I watch a G.I. Joe film?
Because it was an internet meme thing. So
they're
little cartoons. Yep. They were the knowing is half the battle. The PSAs that used to air at the end of every G.I. Joe cartoon episode.
I know what you're talking about.
And this thing, Fensler Films, re-edited them, redubbed them, made them utter. utterly ridiculous, really fun internet bait from like the early 2000s. And like,
they're very funny.
And Teddy Hanlon is like a Fensler film G.I. Joe PSA personified. Like,
yeah.
That is his whole vibe. Is like, he's like, who wants a body massage? Like, he's that guy. Like, total nonsense.
That.
A total nonsense person.
Yeah.
Who is being given like this important role on the show. Dr. Parslow is examining Terry. He thinks that she's having dissociative amnesia due to some emotional trauma. The surgeon got it bang on, basically, right? Like, that's what happened. She watched Kim explode. She dropped. And then she's like, waking up, I can't remember anything. So he got it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because he knows her personally. Because if he was seeing a normal woman who he didn't have any connection with, he'd probably be like, this woman's hysterical. Take her to a funny farm.
Yes. So Sherry is, she's on the phone with somebody. She spies Patty bringing something to a safe. And then she's like very nice to Patty. And then Patty leaves. And then Sherry goes to the safe. And then Patty comes to Sherry. And Sherry goes, I'm busy.
Yeah, then she's mean.
I'm busy, Patty. And she opens it up. She gets the tape. And what's she going to do with that? We hit commercial. And when we come back, David Palmer comes in. And he goes and opens the safe. And Sherry says, I destroyed it. I destroyed the tape. And David is very silent. And he puts his hands to his mouth. He kind of does like this. Puts two fingers up to his lips. It's a great David Palmer pose. Love it.
Two fingers,
yeah.
Two chicken pox scars.
Yeah. Two fingers up to the mouth as he goes, it breaks my heart that I was right about you. And then he reaches into his shirt pocket and produces a little tiny tape cassette. He goes, that wasn't the real tape. It was a fake. We made it up. we made it up. So Sherry destroyed a fake tape. And
it's a
fake. And he says, it's a fake. and he says, I had to see how far you'd go. And she says, I will do anything to protect my family. Anything. Does that make me a bad person? Jury's out. And I think that this was the moment that maybe Sherry Palmer lost you, Emily.
Yeah.
I feel like you haven't been that hard on Sherry Palmer. But like, I remember like we were watching this last night and you're like, don't know about that.
Well, she should have just gone along with the plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dave demands a press conference. He wants a press conference now.
What did I say? I was like, they should just kill Keith.
Yeah.
That'll solve all the problems.
No. Are you kidding? You're a psycho. What are you doing? Oh, God. She's got a lemon wedge in her mouth. So he wants a press conference within the hour, and he wants nothing to derail it. So keep an eye on that 6 to 7 hour. Jack is in the plaza. Teddy, I just asked you about all sorts of kinds of things. He's just harassing Jack about Judy, all this stuff. George Mason gets a call from Nina, her real-life husband, or his real-life wife. And it's like, yeah, this Teddy Hanlon guy sucks, man. Can you do anything about it? He's just calling Jack out for stuff that's totally irrelevant to what's going on right now. And so George Mason does call Teddy. He's like, rein it in, buddy. Just don't do this today.
And he's like,
He's like, oh, man. And so, like, we do see, like, he's supposed to be hidden, but he is, like,
he's so far out.
There's, like, this, like, sort of, like, garden wall in, like, this
And he's wearing,
structure.
Like, jet black,
he's
just,
wearing
like, popping
jet
out.
Jet black. He's surrounded by green foliage, and he's just, like, halfway hanging off the wall, like, full torso out. He is the most noticeable person that has ever existed.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's great.
Do you like the foreshadowing of children playing with super soakers in the patio area while
yes.
Jack's walking around?
I do. I love it. It's great. Also, there was one point where Jack like pulls, helps an old woman sit in a chair, and Teddy Hanlon goes, "Oh, look at you, Jack, pretty sensitive guy, huh? Pretty sensitive guy, eh? Jack Bauer, let it be said, a pretty sensitive guy."
But he's also Jack's just walking around over and over again in this area. Like, how is nobody else being like, well, this is sketchy as hell?
Yeah, it's a good point. So
talking to freaking this guy.
So there is like some sort of there's some sort of terrorist who's here at the Bauer house. It's Johan, right? And there's Bauer security there. And I think Terry and Phil are like on their, they either pull up to the house or they're on their way to the house. I guess light spoiler alert, they're heading towards the house. That's where they're going to go. Meanwhile, Kim is just like showering Rick in praise. He's like, you got to stop being criminal, Rick. He goes, and he keeps saying for like the 100th time, like, I didn't grow up like you, Kim. I didn't have the nice family. And then Kim goes, that's just an excuse. I have a friend named Todd who went through two foster homes, and he's going to Stanford now. And Rick has the best line of the episode, I think, when he goes, good for Todd.
Yeah.
Good for Todd.
Yeah.
That's great for Todd.
That's a real pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of mentality, Kim. We're not here for that.
Yeah. Then the final scene of the episode is this dude with the red baseball hat who you know is a bad guy shows up. Jack talks to him. There's some suspicion back and forth. This guy clocks that he's not Alexis Drazen.
What a surprise.
Jack gives chase, and then Teddy's on the phone. He's like, all right, I'm going to shoot him. And Jack's like, don't shoot him. I'm just going to wing him. And don't wing him. I'll just slow him down a little bit. Yeah. What's the I think you should leave guy's name again? Off the top of my head.
Which one?
The guy, the main guy I think you should leave.
Tim Robinson.
Yeah, Tim Robinson. Yeah. Like, he's like kind of playing Teddy Hanlon. Like, that's like the level of which he just does not fit into the language of 24.
Yeah, yeah.
It just like feels like that. I'll just wing him a bit. I'll just throw him down. And he's like, Teddy, do not shoot. I'm going to shoot him. And he does. And so he shoots him, but he shoots him in such a way that the guy goes flying through a glass partition. He shatters the glass partition and plummets to his death. And so the episode ends with Jack Bauer saying, Teddy Hanlon, you son of a bitch! is effectively how the episode ends. So, like, what happened over these past 2 hours is Jack had a plan. The plan went poorly. Jack develops a new plan. The plan goes so poorly that there isn't even a new plan. So Jack is now stuck in this plaza with frickin' Teddy Hanlon and Nina with no idea of what to do next. They can't even interrogate this guy. Meanwhile, Kim is stuck with Rick.
Because Dan's brother,
he won't let her leave. Yeah. And Terry has amnesia still, and David Palmer still wants to give a press conference apparently about the Ferragamo stuff. So what has really happened?
Nothing. Everyone needs to break for dinner.
We are just like spinning wheels here in the back half of season one, and I continue to season one, 24, best season of the show. Not even close.
Yikes.
For me. Not for everybody. People have other favorites.
How many more times do you think you could rewatch this?
The whole show? Or just season one?
I don't know.
Certainly, I don't think I could ever do the whole show ever again. But I think that, like, unlike Lost, that I could just revisit constantly, I think, like, 24, like, it's been 7 years since I watched season one, because that's when we did the first post-show recap series on 24.
Yeah.
I haven't touched it since, really. And this is very, very fun for me because there's a lot that I really remember because it's like imprinted upon me.
Yeah.
And then there's a ton that I don't. And so I am having like surprises along the way, even if they're like ridiculous, goofy surprises. So like, give me another 7 years and I'll probably want to check this out again.
Okay.
Think all right. 24/7.
Wow.
Remember when we said it's going to be 24/5, 5 days a week of 24 podcasters, like 24/4 is our plan.
I believe you pitched 24/7 to me first and I looked at you and said, no.
You're crazy.
Yeah. I said, no.
Yeah. We missed a week. I'm so sorry about that. I hope that didn't jam up your podcast schedules, because I know people really do like set their watches to this kind of stuff.
But you know what? We're back.
But we're not going to miss it again.
Not this time.
We'll be back next week with just another 24-minute one, and then we get another two-hour special. Or why am I calling it a two-hour special? Oh, God, we're not going 2 hours on 24.
Why are you promising people this?
No, we're doing the off-the-clock. We're getting to episode 20 is what I was trying to say. So next week it's episode 19, standard episode. We'll do the 24-minute time spot. Then we're off the clock for episode 20, and then we're in the home stretch. Then we've got 4 more episodes of 24 to go. So we're getting really, really, really close to the end of season one here, and therefore the end of Worst Day Ever. Again, no announced plans to do beyond. That's a weird word. Beyond season one of 24. That's the plan. We're doing season one of 24, and that's it. So we hope you're enjoying it, because we're rushing towards the finish line here. Emily Fox. Yeah. They can find you at Emilet on Twitter.
Oh, wow. We're doing this.
Yeah, we've got time.
Yeah.
At Emilet on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Or Instagram.
Don't spoil any 24 for Emily. Please do not tag her in any spoilers because she obviously doesn't know anything. But if you want to like check out like awesome cooking photos and videos and stuff and cat photos and stuff, you should for sure follow Emily on Insta.
Yeah.
Lots of great stuff that's happening.
Come on
over
down.
There. Come on down. I'm at Round Howard. I'll tell you, you can talk to me there, but also come on down to the Post Show Recaps Patreon. October 1st is coming up swiftly. It's the 1 year anniversary of the Post Show Recaps Patreon program. We're incredibly excited about it. If you've ever enjoyed Post Show Recaps, if you've been one of these people that's been listening ever since those first 24 podcasts all the way back in 2014, if you can believe it, this Patreon program has revolutionized Post Show Recaps. It's been a real shot of epinephrine, if you get the 24 reference, if you've seen Beyond Season 1. And it has really woken us up, and we're really, really pumped about what we're cooking up, and we're really, really excited about the future, and that future is not possible without you listening, and it's not possible without the Patreon program as well. So if you've ever enjoyed this stuff, October is a great month to show your support, even if it's just for the month of October, just to pop in and say, hey, I'm here. We love this stuff. Enjoying what you guys are putting down. We want to keep hearing more of it. Consider it. October 1st would be the perfect time to pledge your support. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You better believe I'll remind you about it next week, but probably in a more limited capacity because we only got 24 minutes to podcast about
Correct.
It. So I'm giving you the bigger sell this week. It would mean the world to me. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Consider signing up October 1st. Plenty of different ways to support Post Show Recaps through the Patreon program, and your support would be tremendously appreciated. A- for this one, Emily?
Yeah, I'd
double
say
A-.
So.
Double A-. So, yeah, 24 trending downwards right now. We'll see if we can't pick it back up. We'll be back next week, episode 19. Emily Fox, anything else you want to say?
No, I think that's it.
All right, well. That's it, guys. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.